And welcome, everybody, to today's exciting episode. Are you all right?
Yeah, that was my impression of a dragon snoring.
Oh, I thought we were back to the Bigfoot episode for a minute there.
No, Bigfoot is more... Yeah, more guttural, isn't
right,
it?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I imagine dragons would be louder, but a sleeping, snoring dragon... I think that was pretty accurate.
Fair play. Yeah, that's pretty good. And it ties in well with today's episode.
Oh, it does. Yep. We are talking dragons today.
Dragons.
Yeah.
One of my favourites. Well, I've been looking forward to this one for a long time. I guess it's not something we ever thought we'd put on the podcast until about, 6 months ago when you first brought it up?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, I've been looking forward to this episode for a long time.
Well, I get sick of explaining our podcast to people because there are people, we still get the odd comment with people saying, oh, dragons, they're not paranormal, this, that, and the other. But we like all weird, mysterious things here.
Yes.
Like, if we want to talk about dragons, then either buckle up and listen to dragons or wait till next week. And it might be spooky, but it also might be another mythological creature.
Or it might just be another mystery.
Yeah, who knows?
See, yeah. We just love the mysterious things. Things that not necessarily can be explained easily.
That's right. And it's always important to not let people know your next move.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So... Yeah, I mean, yeah, ask any great dictator.
Mm. But if you've just heard me say that and you think, oh, I'm not really interested in dragons, and you're thinking about skipping, wait. Because you're going to want to hear the ending.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
The good stuff's always at the end.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and I've got some swaying evidence.
So don't fast forward just to get to the end. You have to listen to the whole lot.
Yeah.
You know, that's the deal that we make with you people when you're listening to this. Like, I mean, if you're skipping on, shame on you.
Yeah. Don't do it. Listen to the whole thing.
Josh's glorious voice will soothe you to sleep, and then hopefully you'll make it to the end.
To be fair, I feel like my voice is very soothing today because I had a bit of a cold the last couple of weeks when we've recorded,
right.
So I've not felt myself, but now I feel free.
Hope you don't feel yourself on the podcast.
No.
That would be terrible and not very PG.
No, it's not. It's not PG.
But no, I have heard that some people... have said that our voices are very soothing and they try and put us on like to go to sleep, but then they get the giggles when they're trying to get to sleep.
Yes.
So I mean, I don't know. I mean, we did pop up as like ASMR suggestions and stuff like that, so maybe that all ties in as well. You know, people who like to fall to sleep to podcasts, they might find that our voices are a little bit soothing and it helps with that. And then suddenly one of us will let rip on a joke and we'll just cackle out of nowhere.
It really disturbs the process, but we have had some nice compliments about our British accents.
Yeah, we have, yeah. Particularly from like the American listeners.
Yeah, they keep coming back and I'm surprised because I seem to rip them every single week. But, you know, I think they... You know, they know. It's all in good humour, isn't it?
Well, you're half American yourself, so...
Yeah.
You're just taking a mick out of yourself, or at least half of you.
Yeah, also, I don't think people are aware as well. You know how, like, quite often we'll do the redneck voice? And we'll take the mickey out of the rednecks. People didn't realise that I lived in Mississippi for the longest time when I was young.
Yeah.
I actually had that accent. It wasn't until I moved over to England that I lost that accent in a few years. So I'm exempt from any of this.
I just don't know how to do another American accent.
Yeah.
Other than the typical FBI, we're here on serious business.
But I'll tell you what does upset me. We will get into dragons, but what does upset me is my wife said to me that, oh, I don't know.
Your wife?
She said that. She said, I don't know if I could still be with you if you still had that redneck accent.
I can understand that.
But now she's really into country music, like Riley Green and Morgan Wallen and all these country stars. and they all sound a bit like that. So I'm
definitely, yeah.
So now, would you like it?
Even when they're singing, country people just sound like that, don't they?
Yeah.
Like Billy Ray Cyrus and all that, like, don't break my heart.
My ache, break your heart.
You can't sing that in an English accent or anything.
No.
It just wouldn't work.
Yeah. And I still stand by it. Country music, anyone can write it. So
yeah, they can write it, but can they perform it?
That's a different question.
Yeah, it's a different thing entirely, isn't it?
But yeah, the music does. I really enjoy country music because it's so good.
Well, I have a little confession to make.
Yeah.
Right. As you know, my mate Craig.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. He
reminds me of a garden gnome.
Seeing this woman.
Oh, okay.
He's managed to get a relationship and keep it going.
Good on him.
Fairly well. At least as far as I know at the moment.
Yeah.
And she's part of a local performance group.
Hell yeah.
Right. He started like seeing her because they started doing like karaoke together and stuff, and then they made like this little duet where he was playing guitar and she was singing, and they went out to these karaoke nights and started doing that. And he said, "Oh, it's really got me in the bug." And then he found out about this performance group that she was with, and he was like, "Oh, can I join that?" And she was like, "No, I want to keep it separate, like relationship and this is all separate." So he came to me and he said, "Oh, they really need a drummer."
Okay.
And I was like, "Okay." I was like, "I haven't played drums in a long time. I'm quite rusty." He went, "Oh, it'd be easy. It's all country music." I went, "Yeah, all right."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I hope Craig and his new lady stay together, because it sounded like another Fleetwood Mac situation with Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, maybe, but no, so they've avoided that, and now he's roped me into the performance instead. So, but this time it's country. Next time it might be something else. I don't know. But they only do it like 3 or 4 times a year. So,
excellent.
I've kind of landed myself in that one.
Well,
I have no idea. I haven't even looked at the set list or anything. I know one of them's like 9 to 5 or something like that. But yeah.
Okay. Well, if they ever need a bass player, let me know.
I will. I will hold you to that, because I actually have a spare bass guitar that you could play.
Oh, mate. You think I've got rid of my sexy bass guitar?
Oh, have you still got it?
Oh, mate. I need to show you my bass guitar. I've got one of the sexiest bass guitars ever.
I want to see that long-necked bass.
Oh, dude, it's my dream bass.
You've seen mine, haven't you?
I have, yeah, yeah.
It doesn't anymore, but it used to have Dirty Motherfunker written on it.
Whew, I had to listen closely then.
Yes, I did not swear, but that's what it was called, the DMF.
I like that. That's cool. Hell yeah. Well, I suppose we should probably get into dragons,
yeah.
Okay. So the word dragon entered the English language in the early 13th century from Old French dragon, which comes from the Latin word draco, which means huge serpent.
Yes, there's a constellation called Draco.
Does it look like a huge snake?
Well, it looks like a combination of stars, but it's meant to make the shape of a snake, yes.
It all adds up.
Yeah.
So we're 1 for 1 on facts today so far.
There we go.
So dragons appear in virtually all cultures around the globe. There's actually only a handful of countries that don't have dragons in their history.
Canada.
There was some sort of underwater dragon, sea serpent thing.
Okay.
I think. It was more Southern America, I think. There was a few
countries. Central America and Southern. Yeah, big on dragons, Quetzalcoatl and all that. But, yeah, I was just taking a stab in the dark.
Well, surprisingly, New Zealand big into dragons as well.
Are they?
There's a few things coming up. Yeah,
oh, fair enough.
So the earliest reports of dragons, I should just reference that, in the very, very early days, like the first stages, which is the ancient Mesopotamian times.
Ooh, long time ago.
Very long time ago. All the way up to 10th century, 11th century. Before all of that time, they were referred to as very large serpents or snakes looking.
They're not
what you think of as like a traditional dragon with wings, breathing fire kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
But the ancient Mesopotamians had a lot of dragons and giant serpents in their art and literature. There are actually stories of gods defeating and slaying giant serpents, which occur throughout Eastern and European mythologies. As well as Asian as well. I've got some...
I guess that shows in modern-day video games of that kind of era of
Yeah.
That kind of mythology sort of based video games. You're always coming up against some giant dragon kind of monster.
Yeah. It's actually a really big go-to, isn't it? In a lot of games and stuff.
Oh, definitely.
Like,
yeah.
Dragons, they fill that big villain or final boss stage definitely. Quite well. Even if it's not a medieval game, there will be some sort of giant creature that looks like a dragon or resembles a dragon.
And in Spyro, you get to play a dragon.
That's very true. I forgot about Spyro. Yeah, great game. So there's a few different names for dragons throughout the years. So we've got Mushusu, which is the ancient Mesopotamian name.
Okay. Yeah.
Apep, which is Egyptian mythology. We've got Leviathan, which is the Hebrew Bible. Hydra in Greek mythology, which, as you said earlier, means multiple heads.
Yeah, many-headed dragon. Yeah.
The Kolshidra in Albanian mythology.
Oh, cool.
And the Quetzalcoatl.
Quetzalcoatl.
God damn it. In Aztec culture.
Aztec, yeah. I had to do a tattoo of that one day.
I'm pretty sure there is also a Pokemon called Quetzalcoatl.
Yeah, but that'd be like a serpenty sort of dragon.
Yes, a serpent dragon. Yeah. Scholars, scientists, and historians still dispute to this day whether dragons ever existed, where it originates from, and if the idea of a huge fire-breathing lizard is even possible.
It's got to have come from somewhere, hasn't it?
It has.
Like you say, so many cultures all over the world all have dragons in their own sort of mythology and history. There's got to be something to it.
There has. And after this research, mate, we're going to get into it more and more. I really do think there is something to it. I have. I've got a combination of notes and screenshots.
Classic, Josh.
Also, I forget to do this every time. I'm just going to shout out a few websites and sources.
Go for it. We're bad for that.
We've got Answers in Genesis, Science Focus, Wikipedia, NPR, and a few like YouTube videos and stuff.
All right.
So there's quite a collection of research sources here. So anthropologist David E. Jones suggests a hypothesis that humans, like monkeys, have inherited instinctive reactions to snakes, large cats, and as well as birds of prey. He cites a study which found that approximately 39 people in 100 are afraid of snakes, and notes that fear of snakes is especially prominent in children, even in areas where snakes are rare. The earliest attested dragons all resemble snakes or have snake-like attributes. Jones therefore concludes that dragons appear in nearly all cultures because humans have an innate fear of snakes and other animals that were major predators of humans and primate ancestors. Dragons are usually said to reside in dark caves, deep pools, wild mountain reaches, sea bottoms, haunted forests, all places which would have been fraught with danger for early human ancestors.
Dragons sleep on a pile of gold. Everyone knows that.
They do as well. Yes,
but I would. I don't want to disrespect your research or this guy. Oh, David,
this is the first
Jones.
Bit of research.
I know.
You're gonna poo-poo it.
But I saw a video, literally like 2-3 days ago, that was I can't remember if it was Instagram or YouTube. But it was basically titled like, young children are not scared of snakes, and it literally put these kids are just playing on a mat with their toys and stuff, and these scientists literally just put pythons around them.
Safe.
Yeah, these are literally like, well, probably maybe like a 12-month-old kid, something like that.
Where are health and safety in this?
I guess they were watching the snakes to make sure they didn't eat the kids
right,
or whatever.
Then.
But the kids were just like, oh, yeah, there's a snake there. Oh, it feels quite nice. Yeah, I'm just carrying on with playing. And the kids were literally just ignoring the snakes. The parents were on camera off the set somewhere, literally horrified, shocked, like, oh, my God, like that, you know. I can't believe that, you know, and the kids were just like, yeah, it's a snake. No, I don't care. Yeah, oh, look at that, squishy.
Well, I've got a question that might dispute your findings.
Okay.
How many babies were in this room playing with snakes?
Two or three.
Ah. Now, the research here suggests 39 out of 100 humans So those babies could have been part of the equation.
Okay. So one third of children are scared of snakes.
Yeah.
So one of them might have been scared, but it wasn't shown on the video.
Yeah.
That's the fair enough. Okay. Yeah. So good research.
Until they get 100 babies in a room, then I might listen to what you've got to say about
okay.
it. But according to David E. Jones, 39 out of 100 people, it's their instinct to be scared of snakes. But that's just one theory of a few that I'm going to go into as to
I think
where dragons
definitely
come from.
As you grow older and you become generally more scared of things, snakes are something that you would just naturally be cautious of.
I'm petrified just of snakes.
Just with their general demeanor and stuff. Like, I think because I think these children were so young, a lot of children, they learn to be scared of things from seeing the reactions of their parents or people around them. You know, so if their parents or whoever reacts as though they're scared of the snake, if the kids could have seen their parents' reaction to that happening, they might have been more scared of the snakes. But because they've never had an experience of snakes before, never seen anybody scared of snakes, they just didn't care.
Famously, babies are stupid.
Yeah.
So they also eat a lemon, react to it, and don't like it, but then they go back for more.
Oh, mate, I saw a video of a camel eating a lemon for the first time the other day. That made me belly laugh. The camel was like, yeah, not too bad. And then he managed to pierce the skin. And
did it go back for more?
No. Oh. It spat it out and it was
yeah, not good.
So, off topic completely, but yeah, anyway, carry on with your dragons, mate. Sorry.
The second example I've got is a woman called Adrian Mayer. So in her book The First Fossil Hunters, Adrian Mayer argues that some stories of dragons may have been inspired by ancient discoveries of fossils belonging to dinosaurs and other prehistoric animals. She argues that the dragon lore of northern India may have been inspired by observations of oversized extraordinary bones in the fossil beds of the Siwalik Hills below the Himalayas. And the ancient Greek artistic depictions of the monster of Troy may have been influenced by fossils, and extinct species of giraffe, whose fossils are common in the Mediterranean region. In China, a region where fossils of large prehistoric animals are common, these remains are frequently identified as dragon bones and are commonly used in traditional Chinese medicine. So that's another example.
Well, in China, you've got to believe it, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just showing you that that's another example of where people could have confused dragons with dinosaurs. Or
yeah, well,
they
like
look
say,
very similar.
In China, you've got to believe it. I mean, the Chinese even build their skyscrapers with holes in the middle of them for dragons to fly through.
Mm.
That's fact. True. That is actually fact. They actually, you know, the big hotels and stuff like that with a massive hole in the middle of it and for dragons to fly through.
Yeah, good point. She also states that in Scandinavian countries and certain parts of the world, that many dragon images are based on folk knowledge or exaggerations of living reptiles, such as Komodo dragons, Gila monsters, iguanas, alligators, or even in California, alligator lizards.
Ah, so, okay. Again, bearded dragons.
Bearded dragons, yeah. Hmm.
They're even cooler because they've got beards.
Yeah.
We are very pro beard on this podcast. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, very true. Okay, here we go. So I'm going to, I've got my notes.
We're away from the phone and back to the notes.
Here we go.
That's just telling where to get the next screenshot.
Yeah, I'm just trying to work out if I have to read this bit or not.
You take your time, mate. We can wait.
We need some elevator music while.
If you'd have remembered the soundboard, we could have done that.
Yeah,
as well.
Could have done.
I bought him a soundboard for Christmas, and he still hasn't bought it in.
Okay, so I'm going to move over to China.
Right, here we go.
So, I'm just kind of going through examples and stuff over history and explanations as to what dragons.
That's fine. Well, you kind of were segueing into China anyway before, so you know, might as well carry on that trend.
Yeah. So the Huanshu, compiled in the 5th century BC, reports a story belonging to the Aloyi people. I haven't set myself up here for names and things, which holds that a woman named Shai, who lived in the region around Mount Lao, became pregnant with 10 sons after being touched by a tree trunk floating in the water while fishing. She gave birth to the sons, and the tree trunk turned into a dragon, who asked to see his sons. The woman showed the dragon her sons, but all of them ran away except for the youngest, who the dragon licked on the back and named Zhulong, meaning sitting back. The sons later elected him king, and the descendants of the 10 sons became the Aloyi people, who tattooed dragons on their backs in honour of their ancestors.
Oh, that's where the story of the girl with the dragon tattoo comes from then.
Yeah, and well, yeah, I'm guessing it is. But that was one of the earliest stories I could find of dragons in Asia, in China,
oh, fair
which
enough.
Is why yeah, they yeah. kind of believe it. And also, I'm not in any way saying China and Japan are similar. They're very, very different countries. But there's a lot of mythology, not just dragons, but there's a lot of mythology that passes between China, Japan, and South Korea. So... Mm-hmm. There could be stories on dragons that people would hear and say, oh, I thought that was Japanese folklore. Whatever. They're all kind of similar.
Yeah, a lot of interconnectedness. Yeah.
So we've got the Mao people of southwest China have a story that a divine dragon created the first humans by breathing on monkeys that came to play in his cave.
What? Okay.
I just thought I'd mention that. It tickled me. In China...
I wasn't expecting that one. No, me off guard.
Just a short little story there. So dragons breathing on monkeys.
Yeah.
In China, a dragon is thought to have power over rain. Dragons and their associations with rain are the source of the Chinese customs of dragon dancing and dragon boat racing. Dragons are also associated with thunder, storms, very weather related.
Yeah.
Rain droughts as well is thought to be caused by a dragon's laziness. Prayers invoking dragons to bring rain are common in Chinese texts as well, in literature. And many traditional Chinese customs revolve around dragons during various holidays, including Spring Festival, Lantern Festival. Villagers will construct approximately a 16-foot-long dragon from grass, cloth, bamboo strips, and paper, which they will parade through the city as part of the dragon dance. The original purpose of this ritual was to bring good weather and a strong harvest, but now it is done mostly for entertainment as part of the festival. Well, we've all seen that, though. You know, when you've got like eight people.
And this guy at the front's got the dragon head on sticks and like they shake it all around and make it quiver and stuff like that. It looks quite cool, doesn't it?
I'd love
to go and see one of those parades.
I'd love to go to Asia. Like, I really want to go to like Japan or China or even
Have
South
you finished
Korea.
On the site?
China, oh, no, I've got more. Oh,
okay.
I've got more.
Sorry.
What's this one? I think this is the... Going into the Welsh or the... Well, I'll mention as well, Thor in Norse mythology, he had a fight with a dragon.
He did. He dropped his hammer in its mouth and it couldn't move.
Yeah. Yeah, it might, maybe.
Maybe he did in the film anyway.
Yeah, so somehow Thor fought the dragon.
I just wanted to, if you are kind of finished on the Asian section...
I am with the Asian.
Okay, yeah. just wanted to add that there are theories in the ufology world that obviously back in the day, all these ancient Asians would see UFOs.
Right.
Or UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomenon, not knowing how to explain it, explained them as dragons.
Dragons in the sky.
Yeah, and the lights looked like they were breathing fire and stuff like, you know, the flashing lights sort of thing. So, and I think one of the stories is one of their emperors or something rode up to into the skies on the back of a dragon. And there is theories that the dragon was what they represented as a dragon was actually a UFO or a UAP. So there's that cool. one as well.
Yeah.
There's that
one. There you go. I'd
bring that to the table.
That's the paranormal part of this podcast.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just
Pirate managed to tie everything back to aliens, didn't he?
Yeah. I bet there's a few people that are like, oh, he somehow managed to mention aliens again.
Well, I don't know. I'm a pirate. I got to believe in dragons as well. I mean, what pirate doesn't have a map that says here be dragons on it, you know?
There's an interesting one I should have looked up. If pirates and dragons were around at the same time, they must have been, because they've been around thousands of years.
Yeah. Pirates have been around forever. Read the Gospel of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. They've been around forever. They've seen it all.
I'm going to quickly gloss over the St. George and dragon story because it's...
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Sum it up in a nutshell. St. George, before he was a saint, he saw a princess crying outside a cave. She said, run away now because there's a nasty dragon in that cave and he's committed horrible crimes. George said, no, actually, I'm going to fight the dragon. So he slayed the dragon and he saved the princess, became a saint.
What a stand-up guy.
Yeah. And
he wasn't a pirate.
As an English citizen, I suppose I should probably take more pride in that story and drag it out a bit, but it's
Simple. We do have like the St. George's Day parade and all that sort of thing. It's a bit of a lame story, really, for what actually we celebrate.
Yeah, and if there's people saying, oh, that's not the full story, there's other variations of it, but that is pretty much that story in a nutshell.
As an English person, or as a half English, half Welsh person, all I know about St. George is that he killed a dragon. I don't know why or what the actual story was. You've just told me.
Yep, save a princess.
There you go.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now, being part Welsh, not to put you on the spot, do you know the story of the Welsh dragon by any chance?
I know it's on a flag.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Do you know why it's on a flag?
No, actually, I don't.
Okay, so there was...
My nan never told me, you see.
She told me about my marcher.
More about that later.
So there was a child prophet called Merlin. So he... witnesses.
You mean Merlin?
Merlin.
Yeah.
I know him well. I can't.
He's always around by ear.
I can't hold a Welsh accent, so I'm not going to do it in Welsh. It's the one accent I struggle with, along with Liverpool, so I'm not going to attempt it. But Merlin, he witnesses the Celtic warlord Vortigern attempts to build a tower on Snowdon to keep safe from the Anglo-Saxons.
How dare he?
But the tower keeps being swallowed into the ground. So Merlin informs Vortigern that underneath the foundation he has built is a pool with two dragons sleeping in it. Vortigern orders for the pool to be drained, exposing a red dragon and a white dragon, who immediately begin fighting. Merlin delivers a prophecy that the white dragon will triumph over the red, symbolizing England's conquest of Wales, but declares that the red dragon will eventually return and defeat the white one. This story remained popular throughout the 15th century.
I think I actually have heard that story before about the two dragons fighting. But yeah, no, I couldn't recall it when you asked. So yeah, no, that's news to me.
Yeah, so I just thought it was pretty cool because when I was thinking about dragons, the Welsh dragon was one of the most famous ones that came to my mind.
Yeah, China and Wales, I think, have got the two most famous dragons, haven't they?
Yeah, so if you're Welsh and you didn't know that story, there you go. That's part of your heritage.
Join the pirate club.
Yeah. just worth mentioning as well, before we move on to the science and the facts and the meat and bones of dragons.
Ooh, the interesting part.
I just thought I'd mention that in modern times, dragons are very popular. We all know dragons. I didn't need to give a description at the start of the podcast about what a dragon is.
Anybody who's played Skyrim has encountered dragons.
Yeah, yeah.
Am I right? Alduin is a beast.
Yep.
It's my Skyrim posse. They're with me on that one. If you've not like been up against Alduin yet, you know, you're in for a fight.
Yes. Yeah. So you got Skyrim, Dungeons and Dragons, it's in the title.
Yeah.
Plenty of books, fantasy novels,
films.
Shrek has a dragon in it.
Yeah.
Smaug from The Hobbit. Harry Potter. There's just dragons in a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Sean Connery was a dragon in Dragonheart.
Yeah. How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah. Toothless. He's a cool dragon, actually.
He's one of my favorites. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. He looks like a cat.
Yeah.
With wings.
Yeah, it does, actually. But there's so many examples of dragons. You know, everyone's got a favourite dragon, I imagine. So
yeah.
I'm not going to list every single thing.
No, let us know what your favourite dragon is. Write in paranormality.uk@gmail.com.
So let's get to the nitty-gritty. So dragon biology is found in real life.
Oh, this is interesting now. Okay, right.
But
let's go. Hit me with this.
It is not found in one single creature. So everything that makes a dragon is not found
but
in one single creature.
It's found in multiple creatures.
Yes, all species. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So dragon-style wings are found on the Pterosaurus with a wingspan up to 30 feet. So
Pterosaurus. Pterosaur, yeah.
Yeah, so that
also
extinct.
A bat.
Yeah.
Pretty much dragon wings, yeah.
Thick armor of skin, which is found on crocodiles and alligators.
Scales, yeah.
Which are bony plates strong enough to repel musket balls.
But not arrows fired from giant crossbows, evidently, because that's what killed Smaug.
Yeah.
Alduin's a lot harder to kill.
I'll take your word for it. I've not encountered Aloysius Alamond yet, or whatever he's called.
Alduin, no, you never played Skyrim, did you?
No. So we've got Komodo dragons, obviously. This is the one I learnt from New Zealand. There's something called a Tuatara, which is the closest thing that looks like a dragon.
Oh, really?
It's a lizard, but it's got the spines and the like the webs between the spines.
Oh, cool.
All the way from its head down to its tail. So it's
most
resembles what a dragon looks like, just on a very small scale. And then also the Komodo dragon has a venomous bite.
Yes,
which
it does.
Burns
like corrosive.
Fire.
Yeah.
Now, what if I told you that it is possible for a species of something to actually kind of breathe fire?
Breathe fire?
Yeah, because everyone knows dragons.
Yeah, dragons
breathe fire.
Yeah, obviously.
But
yeah,
there's people that say, well, that's not possible, so dragons therefore can't be real. But what if I told you there was some sort of species?
Now, I know of a shrimp.
I know him too. Steve, he's well all right.
Yeah, but I know the shrimp, the pistol shrimp, that can snap its claw shut and it creates a percussive wave in the water that actually heats up as hot as the surface of the sun. It's one of the most dangerous creatures on Earth, apparently, the pistol shrimp. It's got the capability to knock out a human. It's only an inch long, but they say that it create the friction of its claws snapping shut creates a heat wave as hot as the surface of the sun.
Yeah.
So at least you've got some kind of thing that could cause an ignition. And some of my burps or, cows farting could be ignited if they had a source of ignition. So a creature that had both of those things could potentially breathe fire.
Okay, I like that. The pistol shrimp is a good example of just showing and like letting the listeners
source of
know,
ignition.
There is a way of creating
like
that kind of heat.
The clicker on your cooker hood, you know?
Yeah. So I've got the Bombardier Beetle.
Oh, okay. I wasn't expecting a beetle.
The Bombardier Beetle.
No more strange than a shrimp, though.
No, no. So this is actually pretty cool. So this is, I think, the only animal that is capable of technically breathing fire.
Technically. Okay.
Yeah. But the Bombardier Beetle, rather than breathing fire, shoots a fiery spray out of its anus.
Right, yeah. A little bit different, but yeah, okay, fair enough. Well, like I said, if it's got a source of ignition, and you know, yeah, a cow could technically breathe fire, couldn't it? So
yeah,
didn't see a beetle coming. But,
it says here it's not quite fire. Technically, it's not quite fire, but the beetles produce the chemicals hydrogen peroxide and hydroquinone,
right?
Which combine to make a spray that heats up to almost 100 degrees Celsius.
Fair play.
So it's a neat evolutionary trick. And while there's no record of Bombardier beetles melting castle walls, they make fire-breathing dragons seem less far-fetched, which I think is... So when the beetle's threatened, it puts the mix of hydrogen peroxide and hydroquinone into a combustion chamber, and enzymes provoke the chemicals to react, producing a toxic substance called benzoquinine, and then squirts this boiling hot liquid into the eyes of the assailant from its anus.
Fair play. Yeah, that's yeah. Okay, yeah. I saw I want to call it a documentary, but it wasn't really a documentary. It was kind of an imaginative documentary years ago, where they were trying to scientifically explain how a dragon could exist, mm-hmm. and you know, through all the typical things, you know, a big reptile that flies, breathes fire, all that sort of thing. And they came up with the theory that it maybe had a hydrogen bladder.
Mm-hmm.
That one thing, for one thing, the hydrogen bladder, hydrogen being the lightest chemical element on Earth, would mean that it was more able to fly because it's lighter, because it's got this bladder of hydrogen in it, and also just with some kind of source of ignition would be able to expel the hydrogen so it could breathe fire.
That is perfect, because what if I told you I have the source of ignition?
Oh,
for that. So exactly what you just said.
This is a good theory then.
The
yeah.
hydrogen bladder would also create a substance called diethyl ether. So it is a highly flammable substance.
Yeah.
And the dragon would squirt the liquid out of its mouth,
mm-hmm.
and the liquid would go across its teeth, which would create the friction for it to create
so a pistol shrimp, an ignition source.
Yeah.
With its teeth. Yeah, no, that's good.
So the theory, if there were fire-breathing dragons, that's how it would happen.
Out of interest, if you are interested, on this, also this, well, let's call it a mockumentary, they came up with a good theory on how dragons died out as well.
Okay.
It's because reptiles lay eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah, dragons are reptiles. Some reptiles, not all, but it may be like a scientific thing, is that when the babies are embryos in the egg, their gender is decided on the heat, on how hot the egg is kept.
The heat in the loins.
Yeah, well, you know, how carefully the mother is, you know, keeping that temperature constant or whatever. And the theory is that a cooler temperature egg will produce females and a hotter temperature egg will produce males. I think this is actually like a thing within reptiles. I'm not entirely 100% sure. The internet will correct me if I'm wrong. But their idea was that if this was a trait that was in dragons, perhaps when numbers dwindled, when the female left the nest to go get food, the male would come along and heat up the eggs with his fire breath to try and create more males, because that's what males want, isn't it? They want a little boy. And then, obviously, there were just no females left to breed with left in the end.
So, that would make sense.
Yeah.
So there's another thing that kind of leads into the
That's how dragons theory. Died out.
Well, flying dragons.
Yes.
This is the only bit of the research that is a little bit of a Debbie Downer. Just a little bit. Okay.
Because so, there's not many flying dragons, I'm guessing.
So the proportions would be completely off. Like the wings, if we're thinking traditional dragon, legs, breathing fire, tail, big wings, the wings would have to be absolutely huge to carry such a big reptile. But yeah. There are such thing as flying dragons, technically, because a group of lizards named after dragons, they are called flying lizards.
Found
in the forests of Southeast Asia.
But they more glide from tree to tree, don't they?
With their thin folds of skin that act as wings, they glide. Yes. But they can glide for up to like 20, 25 meters.
Yeah, miles and miles. Yeah.
It's a long way that they can glide. So
there's squirrels default, that can do that as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know.
But by default, that is a flying lizard,
yeah.
Which is technically a dragon.
Yeah, technically.
So we've got that. But yeah, they don't flap their wings, but they can glide quite far.
Because there's different descriptions of dragons, isn't there, as well? There's some that have got four legs and wings, and then there's some that the front arms, if you like. They got legs, and then the arms double as wings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that the wyvern, I think?
Yeah.
Wyvern has only got two legs and wings. And then there's some that don't have any legs at all but wings. And you know, there's just different descriptions of dragons. So, you know, we've got to be open-minded about our description of dragons.
And the Chinese dragon doesn't have wings at all.
No.
It's very long and thin.
Yeah, it's more of a snake-like sort of dragon, isn't it?
Yeah, with little arms and little legs. Long neck and things. We've briefly touched on the fact about dinosaurs and dragons being very similar. So people in Europe and Asia have a history of mistaking fossils for dragons. For example, a skull once displayed in a town hall in Klagenfurt, Austria, was said to be from a dragon slain before the city was established in about AD 1250. The skull was later revealed to be from an extinct woolly rhinoceros.
Oh, okay.
So another case of mistaken
identity. I was going to say, you could kind of fake a dragon by putting an alligator skull and spine and ribs and whatnot with maybe like albatross wings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that would make a pretty convincing dragon, wouldn't it?
It would indeed.
How to fake your dragon.
Yeah, that's the sequel to How to Train Your Dragon. How to Fake Your Dragon. So it does ask the question, like, over the years, thousands and thousands of years, and I'm not going to offend anyone, but it's just the best example I can think of the history of dragons is a little bit like the Bible for non-religious people, where the main point of the stories are there.
Yeah.
But the details and everything.
Every time it gets retold, it gets retold a little bit different. And yeah.
So
it goes down the generations. You start losing the original story.
So for thousands of years, is it possible that we've just mistaken dragons for extinct dinosaurs? That's the thing. But that's a whole different topic. But it's another theory that's out there.
Are crocodiles and alligators the only thing that evaded the dinosaur extinction in classical? Yeah, shark. Yeah, so obviously a lot of aquatic creatures, but land animal. Well, I suppose crocodiles and alligators aren't land animals, really, predominantly, are they? But if there were other things that potentially didn't necessarily die out at the same time in that classic extinction event that we all think of as the end of the dinosaurs, maybe there were things that carried on that you could relate to as dragons in our prehistory as humans as well, because we've been around for a fair few hundred thousand years now.
Yeah, very true. Now, this is the part of the podcast where I say, if you've skipped forward to this bit, shame on you.
Shame.
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 Shame. Because this is
a bell now.
This is the juicy bit.
Okay.
So, dragons were real.
They were.
They were. they did exist.
Okay.
Because paleontologists...
You have evidence to back this up, yeah?
Yep.
This is a big claim. Bold claim.
Paleontologists...
44 minutes for anybody who wanted to know.
What, skipping forward?
Yeah.
No, they're not allowed to skip forward. Paleontologists discover a 240 million year old dragon fossil in full in South China, an aquatic reptile resembling a Chinese dragon.
All right.
It looks exactly like a Chinese dragon. So, during the Triassic period, said to be a Dinocephalosaurus.
The Triassic period.
The Triassic. We're gonna,
like, that's like 300 million years ago.
240 million years.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Well, I was generalizing, but yeah.
So it's 16 feet long. This fossil was in complete in full.
Right.
16 feet long. And they discovered it in like a little bit of a spiral, as if it was like kind of sleeping and passed away. The neck has 32 separate vertebrae, longer than the creature's body and tail combined. The team of multicultured paleontologists, which hail from all kinds of parts of the world. So you've got Scottish paleontologists, Chinese, German, American, New Zealand, Australian. They all studied this creature at an institute in Beijing. And the researchers said it's the most remarkable discovery and hopes it will unveil more about the evolution of this group of animals.
Wow.
So they
Was that aquatic or was it land-based?
It was an aquatic, aquatic reptile.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fair play.
But you can see this online. This was February of this year, and that it was discovered.
Oh, right. And recent, then.
It is a full fossil of this dragon,
creature. Yeah, fair play.
Yeah, it was only 240 million years ago.
Well, that is the thing, because with fossils, like... I've heard it said that like 99% of the species that has ever lived is just lost to history because to create a fossil, you have to there's just, like a series of events that has to happen, you know, lack of oxygen getting compressed and all this sort of thing. And like the carbonization of it all, it's so hard to create a fossil that they think that 99% of everything that's ever died never creates a fossil.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it doesn't meet that criteria. So if that is the only dragon to ever be fossilized, that is quite a thing. But was it aquatic or did it just die in the sea?
No, it was aquatic. They done tests and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So the Dinocephalosaurus...
It didn't just drown. It didn't fall out of the sky and drown.
No, so the Dinocephalosaurus, it didn't have wings like a traditional dragon. But
a Chinese one, so it had legs, I assume.
Yeah. So it was literally, it was like 96.7% accurate to what a Chinese dragon looked like. And you can find pictures of it online.
Cool.
So in my opinion, that proves dragons did exist.
They did.
So.
They must have done.
Yeah.
Like we said right at the start, it's got to come from somewhere, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so there we go.
He's done it. He's knocked the mic at last.
That's what I got for dragons. What do you think?
That's very good. I'm Welsh, so I'm going to give it a 9.4.
That's fair. That is fair.
I like it. I like it. I like your idea that some of the dinosaurs could have been, you know, there might be mismatched or mistaken identities, or, you know, they could be dinosaurs. I like the idea of this new fossil that's found. Represents a traditional Chinese dragon. There's proof. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Not to mention it is on the zodiac calendar.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So that also shows
there's a year of the dragon coming every 12 years.
And it always baffled me how the Chinese zodiac had all of those animals that are real. We know it.
Yeah.
But then there was a dragon. Yeah. So that fossil, that new discovery, also kind of proves like. Yeah, dragons were a thing.
Like you say, they're in literally just about every culture on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
There are very, very few countries that you can go to that don't have some reference to dragons in their history, which is good enough for me. I'm going to give it a 9.4, and the only reason I'm deducting it, any points at all, is because I really want to see one. I want them to be around today.
Yeah, yeah.
I want my own little toothless.
Yeah. You know? In modern times, as of nowadays, I suppose, dragons are portrayed as more friendly, helpful, good luck kind of creatures.
Whereas... Yeah, I wouldn't imagine that was always the case,
though. No. They were slaying dragons left, right, and centre back in the day.
That's why they're not around anymore.
Yeah, and they were becoming saints for it. So, do you know what? I really thoroughly enjoy dragons.
You did say that you were 50-50 on it earlier.
I'm 50-50 in the fact that I always thought, well, it was more like 60-40, if I'm being honest, because the actual traditional dragon with legs, wings, and everything, I don't know if I'm still on the fence about that particular.
99% of species of everything that's lived has never created a fossil. We don't know. There's been some weird and wonderful. There was a bird that stood 9 feet tall.
Oh, I don't care about birds.
Yeah, but if the bird can grow to be 9 feet tall and can still fly around and act like a freaking bird, why can't a flying reptile? We've seen that there are such things as flying reptiles, so why can't it grow to super size?
It could have existed. It could have. But I'm going off the giant serpent Chinese dragon imagery.
Yeah, okay.
And because of that, I am going to give it quite a high score. So I hate to say it, man, but I'm going with my gut. I'm giving it a 9.6.
9.6?
I'm giving it a 9.6.
Wow, I didn't think you'd go higher than me.
Because I'm an absolute nerd, so dragons have been embedded in my soul for years.
Then you need to play Skyrim.
So, I've tried before. I found it very difficult. Like, easy opponents were defeating me. If you know,
you
what I mean.
Need
like,
to learn how to be good at computer
games. Yeah, I know. It takes so long. I like platform games.
Skyrim. You get overpowered in like 3 hours in Skyrim.
Yeah, because you've got to have summons and all of that stuff. Haven't you? Spells.
You can play that game any way you like. But anyway, fair enough. That gives dragons an average of 9.5. I am tempted to raise my score, but I'm not going to. I said 9.4. I'm going with 9.4.
So let us know what you think about dragons.
And yes.
Yeah,
let us know. You can write to us however you like. There's plenty of ways. I've said it plenty of times before. I'm not going to go through that again. But it is New Year. It's the first episode of the New Year, isn't it, this week?
Yeah.
And I think we should celebrate that. And we should celebrate dragons potentially being real.
Mm-hmm.
By doing a deal for everybody at home. Because I know what it's like. You were expecting to get your favourite thing for Christmas and maybe that didn't happen. I know that a lot of you out there were hoping for a Paranormality t-shirt and you didn't get one. I know this because we didn't see an increased number of sales over the Christmas period. So Josh and myself are taking it. We're taking this seriously and we are going to get Polar Bear to lower the price. We're doing January sales.
Yep.
Throughout January sales, 20% off all of our merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
That means you can get a t-shirt for 12 quid, I think it is.
Mm. Yeah, some good deals there.
That is a very good deal. And that's going to be open all the way through until the start of February, all of January, the January sales, as we say it.
Mm.
And you can... There's a hot link to that as well. You can literally go to paranormalityuk.co.uk and that will put you through to our link tree and you can go and find the merch or you can go and find a podcast episode that you've been dying to listen to or you can go and check out our YouTube if you really want to see our ugly mugs.
Mm.
And, you know, anything that you can possibly find paranormality-wise is on that website. So go and check that out. Give us some support. Give us some traffic going through that website. And go and get yourself a cheap t-shirt. Because Polar Bear is going to sort that out. It will already be knock-off price.
Yeah. And I want to say thanks to everyone. This is a new year. And the last 2 years have been absolutely incredible. And we keep getting more emails, more interactions. And people just generally thanking us for putting on this show and entertaining, but we should really be the ones to say thank you.
Thank you. Because if it weren't for you listening to us, then we would have lost faith in this a long time ago and we wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, and you're all good eggs. You're all good dragon eggs. So thank you very much, everyone. And here's to 2025. And I wish everyone the best of love and good things to come.
Yeah. And hope that the alien invasion doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
or if it does happen, that they're friendly. But anyway, that will be a future episode. Because I've been asked to do this an episode on the drones and stuff. I just don't know what to say about it.
Mm.
There's no conclusion. So
just wait. There might be more information coming.
Yeah, when there's news, we'll bring the news to anybody who doesn't already know. But yeah, until then, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
And this has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Was that your impression of a dragon saying goodbye?
That was, yeah. That was a dragon learning English for the first time and saying ta-ta as his first words.
Zaxby's Sensation Salad is so much more than a plain old salad. It's a salad, which begs the question, at what point does a salad stop being a salad and become a salad? Is it when you add Zaxby's fried chicken to it? Crunchy wontons? Asian slaw? Citrus vinaigrette? Teriyaki glaze? Sweet and spicy sauce? Or is it when you top it all with a handmade perfectly fried egg roll? Without a doubt, the egg roll. The Sensation Salad, only at Zaxby's.